Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors.
Check.
It's called free speech,
Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
All right. Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hopefully, all of you guys had an amazing weekend. A couple of ways you can get a hold of me. I always love talking to you. You can give me a call here, 407-270-3044. Once again, that is 407-270-3044. And even when I'm not on the air, if you want to leave me a voicemail, you can easily do that. You can leave a voicemail on that number. You can also text on that number. I read a lot of people's chats later on in today's show or tonight's show. I'm going to be kind of asking for your for everybody's help. So I'm going to play a voicemail right off the bat. And I think that this voicemail might be from the guy that I interviewed on Friday. I would like to find out. I would love to hear everybody's feedback about what you thought about the interview that I did on Friday with the guy that, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying anything bad about him, but I thought it was a great show. Oh, hold on. The Vulture. Okay, well, I can't play the voicemail now because, all right. Well, I wish I would have known that beforehand. I've been told not to play the voicemail now by my producer, Vulture. Now I look like a complete asshole. But I'm not going to play it now. So, let me move on to my next story. So, my mom ended up getting back from the hospital. She came home on Friday. What up, Bubba Lost Everything? Hi, Tuttle. What voicemail? Iggy asked, what voicemail? I got a voicemail. I didn't even listen to it because I wanted to get my first reaction from it. And I was just going to play it. But I guess Vulture has listened to it. And he told me not to play it because I thought Friday night's interview, I got a little weirded out a little bit. It was a very, very crazy interview that I did on Friday night. And the guy's audio kept breaking up and stuff. All right. Just going to stop talking about it. As you can see, I'm checking my Apple Watch. And I'm getting reeled in, so I'm not talking about it. And I got to talk to Vulture after the show now just to find out what's going on. Because now I'm a little worried. I mean, I have home protection, if you know what I mean. So, all right. Not going to talk about it. Not going to talk about it at all. No, I won't. I mean, yeah. I'm not going to say anything, Bubba Lost Everything. It's nobody's business. I'll put your comment up there, but I'm not going to put it there. Not going to do it. SDK says, is that guy look... I can't talk about it anymore, guys. I can't talk about it. Because Vulture has access to everything, he could, like, basically stop this whole live stream. So, I'm not going to talk about it. Back to what I was saying. My mom got back. My mom is back. She is doing better. That sucked. She was gone for a whole week. She was losing too much weight and stuff. So she's back, and I've been taking care of her. They've been sending home health care to help take care of her. And this, it's really depressing, people. It is, especially when you're only an only child. A lot of you guys think being an only child is great, but it's not. It's not great to be an only child. Because you have nobody. I would kill to have a sibling now. Growing up, I thought it was great to be an only child and stuff. I don't have a lot of relationship with, you know, uncles and cousins and stuff. There are a couple cousins that I got a relationship, but they're nowhere near me. I got a couple that are near me. One, I don't give a goddamn about. Matter of fact, Bubba Lost Everything. Bubba Lost Everything said, where did you grow up? I grew up in Volusia County. A lot of people probably don't even know where Volusia County is, but it's the county that Daytona Beach is in. Ian Hanna coming in with $20. Chin up, siblings are overrated. By the way, if you're in the market to buy or sell a home in the Flagler, Volusia, Brevard area, go to IanHannaHomes.com. I'm going to put it up there again so you guys can see how Ian Hanna is spelled. So if you're in the market to buy or sell a home in the Volusia, Flagler, Brevard area, check out IanHannaHomes.com. What is Fozzie? I call space junk. 100% knew the Artemis launch would be scrubbed today. They want that Labor Day weekend tourist revenue gimmick. Fozzie, I'm going to get into that story here in just a few. You know how many times? Well, so I'm not going to get into the story right away. Speaking of junk, so mom got home. Home health care has been coming to help her out. I've been dealing with that for the weekend. I didn't do anything at all. But today, well, yesterday, so mom has her main bedroom. She has a bathroom that's connected to her bedroom. Toilet started, you know, not flushing so well. Tried to plunge it. I got it to break up. Then it started backing up again. But my toilet was working in my bathroom. So that toilet today started backing up. Now, when I'm plunging the said toilets now, and I get after it, like I'm being aggressive when I'm plunging. I'm just going at it. I know that looks really weird when I'm doing that, but I'm just getting after it. Mom might be. Mine are hard at the beginning, and then what I like to call the poop cork, hard at the beginning, and then it's napalm after it. So I don't think mine's clogging it up and stuff, but mine started doing it today. So Haas83 asks, do you get elbow deep in S, brother? You know, like, I'm literally dealing with crap in my life right now. So when I was plunging aggressively into the toilet, so there's water coming out of the bathtub drain. It's not poop. It's not poop at all. It's just clear water. So is there any, I swear to God, if anybody knows any plumbers or anything like that, does anybody have any clue? I mean, a Fozzie, see, I think you're right. Call the Homeowners Association, kid. And the only reason, I'm glad Fozzie brought that up. Here in Edgewater, a lot of people don't know this, Edgewater is one of the lowest points in Volusia County. Redbeard, we do not have a septic system. It's city water, city sewer. So we do not have a septic system. But we're at a low point. We've been having a lot of water and stuff, a lot of rain. And I don't know if, like, the water table is backed up. It's just, it's really, really weird because I'm thinking that it's the main drain going out of the house. But I ended up getting some liquid plumber. I got it some main drain cleaner. And I'm letting that sit just to see if it will clear it up. And I don't want anybody to think like me and my mom are too good to see. That's the thing about it. Like when we owned the 20 acres out in DeLeon Springs, me and mom, none of us had any problem going and taking a dump in the woods or outside or having to take a leak outside. Because my dad always had first dibs on the bathroom at the house we had in DeLeon Springs. So if my dad had to, you know, he got first dibs on it. And if we really had to go, we would have to go outside. I've actually pooped next to my mom outside. And I know a lot of you guys are going to judge me for that, but guess what? I did it. I didn't look at anything. But we had a community hole that we would, you know, when my dad was using that, we would do it. What did Fozzie say? Because I think I get a good answer to that. Fozzie, you haven't lived until you bathed in 2 inches of raw sewage in the tub. We had a septic tank out at the Hacienda in DeLeon Springs, and that thing would get backed up. Dad would make me put a garbage bag. It was one of those industrial bags around my arm. I'd have to reach in there with a stick and break up all the hard fecal matter and everything that was in there. Haas83 says, did you at least have a good conversation? Yeah, of course. I always have great conversations with my mom. It's a little awkward. I mean, we weren't, like, facing each other. We were back-to-back in the same hole. You know, I was a lot quicker pooper. And I actually built, like, a little stand so we didn't have to squat over the hole so you didn't accidentally, like, fall in the hole or anything. So you could, like, rest your legs and just, you know, your ass would hang over it into the hole. We had lime by the hole, so you could throw some lime down in there. And then when it got a little full, we just covered it up and dug a new one. I mean, it wasn't very often that we had to do that. It was just my dad had first dibs on the toilet and stuff. So, I mean, it's what you got to do. I mean, I know that Fozzie is making jokes and stuff, but I would love to hear from it. Back to back in the same hole like Forrest and Bubba. I mean, don't judge me, Fozzie. You know, when you got 20 acres and your closest neighbor is about 2 to 3 miles away, bet your ass you could do stuff like that because nobody's going to see anything. Hell, when my parents would go to Orlando to do business, because when they had their own business, I would strip down naked and run around the 20 acres. Like I was some type of native in De Leon Springs. I would just run around completely nude. And it's kind of freeing. When you're out in the nature and the wildlife, like 13, 14, 15, I bet your ass. When I knew that I had about 3 to 5 hours before I knew my parents were going to be home, yeah, bet your ass, I ran around the woods completely nude. No shoes, no nothing. I did it, and I got to tell you, it was one of the most freeing moments in my life every time I did it. And a lot of you guys are going to judge me and stuff and try to say, oh, that's weird. No wonder you're crazy. No wonder you tried to kill yourself and stuff. No wonder you're having all types of problems. No, I did it because I could. And if you guys could do it, you would do the same goddamn thing. Richard Griffith. Evening Tuttle, streaking through the woods. Is it really streaking if you can't get caught? I mean, I know that it is streaking and stuff. But it was great. It is freeing. If you guys ever get an opportunity to do it, I highly recommend it. Seriously. Funny. It's fun. It's amazing. You guys will like it. Fozzie, if you will, says, like, Where the Wild Things Are. Ella, one of my favorite books of all time, by the way. Redbeard, I'd probably do it too. We all would do it. We'd all do it. Fozzie, if you will, I listen to my dad's Richard Pryor and Steve Martin records if I had a few free hours alone. You know, both amazing comedians. A lot of people don't realize the absolute brilliance of Steve Martin. They don't. Ted 85. Tuttle, do you have a snake? You can run from the clean outside of the house back into the building. Hey, Ted 85. What? Okay, so I walked around the building. I found where the water goes into the house. Where can I usually find that? I know every house is different, Ted 85. So if you can, like, give me something I'm looking for leading out of the house, that would be greatly appreciated. Because I would like to do this on my own. Now that my dad's gone and everything, I try to step up and do manly things, even though I've been a nerd all my life. So if you can give me, because I can, for the most part, I hate when people say that they don't know how to do stuff. YouTube people, Google. Seriously, like you can find out anything that you need to know if you just do that. Google or YouTube. You can find it. Fozzie, if you will, says, if a Tuttle poops in the woods, does it make a sound? Yeah, it does. Redbeer 313, I'm pasty. I'd be worried about the dong getting burned. You know, I owned a tanning salon, and I used to tan naked. See, I got tan lines and everything. Now, I owned a tanning salon, and I never got really, really burned. I didn't. Ted 85 replied, normally the opposite side of the water input. If you look on the top of your house, you'll see some vent. See, my uncle told me about vents. Hold on. Normally, the opposite side of the water input. If you look on top of your house, you'll see some vents. And that is your main drain line. Then you just got to go straight down and you should see it. Okay. So is it on top of the house? Because I have a ladder I can look up there. So would it be on top of the house where the water's like running in and stuff? Because I can do that. I will definitely do that. Haas 83, nothing wrong with a little research and doing the job yourself. Good for you. Redbeard 313, usually 20 to 30 yards away from the house. It's got a little cap. The same thing happened to me at my first house, but like I said, it was the Roots. I love the band, the Roots. One of my favorite songs they did was The Seed, but I know that's not what you're talking about. Keith Vina says, typically in the front of the house, it'll be a big 4-inch PVC pipe with a lid on it, probably about 18 inches off the front of the house. All right, so I'm going to have to check that out. So, wait, so it's Wags. So you're telling me the main line is on top of the house? What kind of fucking sense does that make? So, so you're telling me it's on top of the house? Why is it on top of the house? I don't get it. Oh, that's a vent. So if you look for the vent, that's where the main line is, correct? Okay, so Ted 85 says, no, it's on top of the house. It's in the ground. But I can look for the vent on top of the house. Interesting. I would like to be able to figure this out all on my own. I really, really would. So, all right. I want to thank everybody for helping me out with that. So, the next thing that I want to talk about is, so today, you know, I've talked about the new job that I have, and now I have insurance. I got full medical, full dental, full vision. You guys know that I've had a problem when it comes to my mental illness and stuff. Tried to kill myself. Was a big alcoholic. I was prescribed so much medication. And I have not seen a therapist or a psychiatrist since I spent the time in the hospital, when I got Baker active, when I had to spend 11 days in the hospital, I haven't been to see anybody because I haven't had insurance. It's expensive as hell for mental illness. See a therapist. Especially to see a psychiatrist, it's expensive if you're paying out of pocket. So I went and saw a psychiatrist today. Now, when I was looking for a psychiatrist, I didn't want an old psychiatrist. I didn't want somebody that had a lot of tenure or anything. I wanted somebody fresh out of college. And you guys are probably like, Tuttle, why would you want to talk to somebody? Why would you want to talk to somebody that's fresh out of college? Well, I wanted to get somebody new. I wanted to get somebody that had a different way at looking at just mental illness and treating it and stuff. People that have problems. So I got a woman that is about a year into her practice. Went to the University of Alabama. And I got to tell you, I had a one of the best experiences when it came to seeing a psychiatrist or a therapist because, well, oh, let me back up a little bit. So I've been to a lot of therapists and psychiatrists and stuff. They piss test me. Like, I had to pee in a cup. I had to piss in a cup, and they wanted to drug test me. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, why do you need to piss test me? And then I was thinking about it. When you go see a psychiatrist or a therapist, that's sacred, right? Doctor patient, you can't talk about any of the stuff that they find out about me, right? So then I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna go take the piss test. I did. I had to piss bad because I've been drinking a lot of water lately. I filled the cup all the way up to the brim. But it was like one of those home test kits. So I pissed. I knew that I was going to test positive for some stuff. And I don't want you to think I'm on drugs and stuff, people, because I'm not. Like, I've been straight. I still take my Adderall. It's been a while. So I've been stretching out my Adderall, but it's been like 4 months since I've had my Adderall prescription renewed. So I knew that I was going to test positive for amphetamines. And I've smoked weed. Oh, and you're right, Redbeard. No, I wasn't going to hold back. So I tested positive for marijuana. And I tested positive for the amphetamines because of the Adderall. But I haven't had my Adderall prescription in about 4 months, but I've just been spreading it out and I've been using it as I need it. So going right into it, like right out of the box, the psychiatrist asked me, so any drug use, alcohol use, stuff like, I was like, no, I used to be an alcoholic. I haven't drank in a while. Been like 2.5-3 years. I smoke marijuana. I've been stretching out my Adderall medication. Because I knew, like, as soon as you see that, they're like, oh, we're in Volusia County. Is he doing meth? Methamphetamines is different than amphetamines. And the weed. And I told her, I was just straight up, yeah, I smoke weed. I've smoked weed. Because of my anxiety and stuff. And I got to tell you, this woman did not judge me at all. Did not judge me at all. I mean, obviously, she wasn't going to say, oh, well, you know, that's good for you. I don't know if she can. And we moved on from it. I really think that she was trying to test me to see if I was going to be honest. But I did start to have a little bit of an anxiety attack whenever, like, I had to take that drug test because I was like, oh, shit, she's not going to see me. I've been waiting a month for this appointment, and they're going to kick me. They're going to kick me to the street, and she didn't. So, but what I'm saying, but I was open and honest. I talked about everything. And she's got me set up on a plan. I'm going to see her once a month. I'm going to start seeing a therapist that is in the office with her. So, it's pretty great. Like, I've been so scared of seeing a therapist because I was straight up with her. I talked about when I was in the hospital after I tried to commit suicide. And I was like, it was a wake-up call because all they wanted to do when I was in the hospital, when I was Baker acting and stuff, was not treat me, not talk to me, but just throw pills down my throat. Before I went into that, I was on two medications. And when I got out of there, they had me on like 8 or 9. And she was like, I'm not for that. Like, if I give you anything at all, it's going to be the lowest dosage. And if you don't like it, you don't have to be on it. It's like, she said, I'm here to help you feel better. And if you're not comfortable with taking the medication and stuff, we'll take you off of it. So I'm going to start seeing the therapist every single day. And she didn't judge me. I know she couldn't say, I really don't think she could legally say that, oh, it's okay. I agree. Marijuana is great for you to kill your anxieties and stuff. No, so Redbeard 313, I stay away from the SSRIs. I was on two of those before, and they're hard as hell to get off of. They are. She wanted me to try this one, and it's not an SSRI. She said, listen, try this for 2 weeks, because with the SSRIs, it takes like a couple of weeks just to get into your system, and they're hard as hell to get off of because it takes so long to get into your system and stuff. So she told me, like, I'm not pinning you on anything that's going to take a while to get into your system and then get out of your system. Just try what I'm going to give you. If you don't like it after 2 weeks, then you don't have to take it. I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to stop seeing you because you don't want to take them. She did say, and I was kind of proud of this. She told me, like, because when I'm not going to get on Paxil or whatever. So what I'm trying to say, though, is that I was kind of proud when she told me that she feels like I've had better coping skills. Because we talked for almost 90 minutes today. And she did. She was like, have you ever had any of these other thoughts? She was very, 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 like, inquisitive, asked the right questions. And I felt comfortable because I was scared to go see another psychiatrist and get into therapy because I thought all they were going to do is just throw pills down my throat. And I was so happy. I was so happy. Matter of fact, I was almost to the point going into it. I was like, I was getting a little bit of a panic attack, anxiety and stuff. And when I went out of it, I was just like, thank God. I actually made the right decision to see somebody new. Somebody that maybe had a little bit of a different opinion when it came to maybe treating somebody with everything. And I laid it all out on the line. I know that I've been talking about this, but I'm just not ready to talk about it. I even talked about the stuff that happened to me, the childhood trauma that I had. It wasn't because of my parents or anything. Parents gave me a great life. But I've dealt with that. I put that on my own shoulders, did not share it, even with my parents and stuff. But it's been a long journey. It has. Because I was self-medicating all the time. I was drinking and taking every drug and substance that I could. And it just, especially being on the SSRIs, not a good mixture. And I'm sorry, guys, to talk about this. I like having fun shows. I like talking about stuff that is funny and entertaining and stuff. And I do apologize. But I also like sharing stuff that's going on in my life. I like being real with you guys. I like just spilling my guts to you guys every single day. So I do apologize. But I'm going to get into some fun stuff. So today in Central Florida, the big news was Artemis 1 launching. Now, I've been to a lot of these rocket launches, people. I've been to a lot of these rocket launches in Central Florida. I went out to many a space shuttle launches for them to be just scrubbed. And the traffic, when I tell you, is horrendous. It's horrendous. But they said today for Artemis 1 launch, we're talking about the world's, at the moment, the world's largest rocket until Elon. Elon's going to be launching his spaceship, Starship. That one's going to outdo this one. But they had all types of problems. The county of Brevard County, which is where Kennedy Space Center is at, doubled in population today with the amount of people. Said up to 300,000 people came out to see the launch of Artemis 1. Yeah, I mean, Fozzie, I kind of agree with you. A lot of people don't realize this, that when the space program was going strong with the shuttle and stuff, a lot of tourism was humongous in Brevard County, where Kennedy Space Center is. And Fozzie says they want to pack all the campgrounds for Labor Day weekend. I can't debate you on that. But so this happened today. And a lot of people are upset. I guess they got like a fuel leak going into it. And they got to be sure. They've spent a lot of money on this rocket. And you know how bad of a look it would be for NASA if this bitch blew up on the launch pad or blew up. And there's nobody that's going to be on this rocket. Nobody is on the rocket. This is an unmanned test of this rocket. But if this thing blew up, it would be such a bad look. Because they've spent billions of dollars on this whole program leading up to it. So they got to be sure. But the other thing is, if this is what they are saying it is, they're going to have to roll this rocket back into the vehicle assembly building, the VAB. And I don't know if you know this, but the crawler that takes the rockets, the space shuttles, out to the launch pad, this thing, is rolling at less than 1 mile per hour to get to the big ass building where they can fix this. And this is something I don't think they're going to be able to fix. So all the people that are wanting to go out there for Labor Day weekend, like Fozzie said, they're going to have to roll this bitch back into the vehicle assembly building, the VAB.
Scrubbing this morning's planned launch of the Artemis rocket, the first step in sending astronauts back to the moon. NBC's Tom Costello covers space for us. Tom, so, I mean, in the simplest of terms here, what happened? Why didn't NASA decide to scrap it?
Yeah, it was a rough morning for NASA. First of all, they had a lot of weather developing just...
Yep. especially during the summertime. You better launch that bitch early. And guess what? They're going to try it on Friday around noon. Good luck with that. Good luck with that with all the bad weather we have during the summer here in Florida.
Off coast. That started to delay their procedures for tanking the spacecraft. Here's a model, and let me just show you what the issue is here. This huge orange column here, this cylinder.
He's got a little toy Artemis 1 rocket.
That's a tank. It carries about 500,000 gallons of liquid hydrogen.
Yeah. I mean, if this thing goes up and it explodes, it's going to be a KISS concert.
It's also got liquid oxygen in there. So the first problem that they uncovered was that they thought they had a crack right along this side here. We've got video to show from NASA that shows that crack that they were worried about and some frost as well. They've since determined this probably was...
A lot of people are thinking, oh, it's Florida. Why you got ice on it? Well, to be able to fit that much liquid fuel into it, they got to freeze it so it condenses when it's going in. And it's the same problem they had with Space Shuttle. That foam on the main tank, it used to fall off all the time. They try to make it as light as they can, but, well, come to find out, the crack isn't the main problem.
It's not that big of a problem. They think they understand what happened. They think the crack is in the foam insulation itself, not in the tank. Good news. Okay. Second problem is more serious. Down here at the bottom here, you have the engines for this, for the Artemis rocket. There are four engines borrowed from the space shuttle age. In fact,
all right. When I heard this information, it is the most American thing that I have ever heard, especially in the South. We are reusing engines from the space shuttle program. You guys realize the last year that space shuttle program launched? I think it was Endeavor. Yeah, Haas 83 brings up a great point. It's hand-me-down engines. So they're taking engines from the space shuttle program, reusing them, and I mean, that is the most Florida white trash stuff that I have ever heard in my life. No, I mean, Twisted Movies, I'm not saying that they weren't great. It says shuttle engines were really good. ISP, though, very efficient. I mean, if you are going to, you're starting this whole new space program, the Artemis program, the SLS program. You would think that, oh, you know what? We're going to start with a clean slate. It's just, it's what we're going to do. Fozzie, if you will, whenever this thing goes up, I promise you it's going to blow up. We need another national catastrophe to distract from the November elections. Well, I mean, the first launch isn't going to have people on it. So I don't know how much of a tragedy it would be. Even if this launch is successful, they're not going to send up a manned crew until 2023. It's just, you know, the space program, the government, and stuff like that doesn't work that quickly. It's just not going to happen.
They were being reused. One of those four engines, the number three engine, has a flow problem. In other words, it's not getting the right liquid hydrogen that it needs into the engine.
The engine's all gummed up. That engine hasn't been used since 2011. Of course, it's a little gummed up. It's been valving off since 2011. And it's all backed up now. So, of course, it's not going to get the fuel that it needs.
Result, they've been working that all morning. They finally realized it's not going to resolve itself. They're not going to be able to go forward. So they have scrubbed the launch.
Bet your ass.
NASA.
Motherfucker.
Scrubbing this morning.
Forever. I mean, how much
you have the engines.
Shut the... I can't believe it.
Flow problem.
That.
In other words, it's not there getting the right liquid hydrogen that it needs into.
Yeah, guess what? Now it's bad. I can't even make the joke now because I was going to say that. I was going to say, but once it goes off, you can get that backup blown out. It's going to be the biggest C shot that you've ever seen in your life.
The engine. As a result, they've been working that all morning. They finally realized
what up,
it's
Kendall
not
going
to resolve itself. They're not going to be able to go forward. So they have scrubbed the launch. Now, they had a window from 8:30 in the morning, 8:33, till about noon or 12:30. No, I'm sorry, 10:30. Got my time zones mixed up. They are, in fact, scrubbing it for all today.
But, Tom, they're not scrubbing it forever. I mean, how much would this set them back? When could they possibly launch?
And I got to tell you, that's the big question right now, because as it happens, yesterday in a news...
My dad had worked on... You see that building behind this guy? That building, by volume, not the tallest building in Florida, but by just volume, the vehicle assembly building behind him is the biggest building in Florida. My dad worked on that. Do you realize with the humidity here in Florida, that building is so big that sometimes it will rain inside of the building because of the humidity? It is so big, it builds up its own weather system at the top of it. I mean, it is humongous. I mean, like I said, by volume, matter of fact, it might be one of the biggest buildings in the Southeast by volume. It is humongous. And I've been inside of it before. And seriously, the videos and the pictures and stuff do not do it justice. And like I said, with the humidity and stuff, I think they could have fixed it. T-Bone says they fixed it. But I know at one time that that could happen.
Conference, one of the reporters asked, what happens if you have an issue with one of your engines? Yeah. Will you try to fix it on the pad, or will you have to roll it back to that massive building behind me, the vehicle assembly building, the VAB? And the answer was, we'd probably have to roll it back to the VAB. So,
you know, I don't know how many miles. I know it's a good distance. But like I said, the crawler that they use to transport whatever they have on the launch pad, 39B, that crawler crawls less than 1 mile. I think it's a half a mile an hour.
So right now, they're working on trying to understand what the engine problem is and whether they can fix it on the pad or do they have to roll it back to that vehicle assembly building. We don't know the answer yet, but the next opportunity to launch would be on Friday because they have to hit the right orbit for the moon. After that, it would be Monday.
I think Fozzie's right. They're doing it. They're pulling the Memorial or Labor Day. Labor Day. Labor Day thing. Because it's not going to launch Friday. They're going to launch that bitch on Monday. I guarantee you, just to get the extra, to squeeze the juice out of the Taurus. But I think T-Bone's right. I think they're rolling it back to the building. If there is a leak, I don't know. Dave the Slave, no, I'm not. I'm not talking to another chat. Dave the Slave says, I'm either really high or he's talking to a different chat. I'm not. Unsavory Character says, squeeze that Labor Day juice, cuz. You know what? I'm kind of done with this story. Tom Costello reporting live from NBC News. Last story before I get out of here. You know, the best baseball card that I've ever collected. I had a second year Nolan Ryan rookie card. Was not mint condition. Had a little bit of a crease in it. but it was my prized possession. And I had a baseball to go along with that second year Nolan Ryan card. It was signed by Nolan Ryan. I had a baseball signed by Nolan Ryan. I had a second year card. A lot of people, I don't remember his first name. Nolan Ryan's rookie card, he shared his rookie card with another Mets player. His last name was Kuzman. I cannot remember his first name. It was a share card. Nolan Ryan and the other pitcher was Kuzman. But I had a second year Nolan Ryan card and a signed baseball. And I had it on a little display where the baseball was next to it and that card. It was in a thing. But like I said, it was not mint condition. Had a little crease on the top right corner. Best baseball card I ever had. Yeah, T-Bone. T-Bone said, I think it's Bob. I think you're right. Jerry Kuzman. Bob Kuzman. But I want to ask you guys this. So this Mickey Mantle card, rookie card, first year of Topps, by the way, sold for $12 million. Now, that broke the record. Yeah, Jerry Kuzman. But that card broke the record for the most expensive piece of sports memorabilia. And when I want to hear from you guys in the chat room, what would be the one piece of sports memorabilia that you would want to own? So, for example, it could be something as, well, I know it's not out there, but Barry Bonds, 73 home runs, or the bat that he used, or when Mark McGwire hit 70, or when Barry Bonds broke Hank Aaron's record. There's so many things that you could think of. I mean, Fozzie, if you will, brings up, is Ted Williams still cryogenically frozen? I mean, I got to agree with Fozzie. Ted Williams' frozen head would be one of... Ted Williams' frozen head, cryogenically frozen next to Walt Disney, his head. I think that's got to be valuable. If you could sell Ted Williams' frozen head, I think that would break all types of records.
Mint condition, 1952 Mickey Mantle. Here it is, baseball card, sold for, get this, $12.6 million yesterday. That's the most money ever paid for sports memorabilia. The rare Mantle card eclipsed the record just posted a few months ago of $9.3 million for a jersey worn by soccer great Diego Maradona.
Well, Diego Maradona was all coked up when he was on the field. He loved that. Yeah, I mean, Redbeard, I was about to talk about the Honus Wagner card, but the jersey that Diego Maradona wore when he had the Hand of God goal, you know, the one where everybody said he handballed it down to score it, that was the record for the longest time. But Redbeard, he says, what about the Honus Wagner? The Honus Wagner has always been the most expensive because of the rarity. And a lot of people, I know that Redbeard and Unsavory Character know the story about Honus Wagner, but Honus Wagner, back in the day when he was playing for Pittsburgh, the baseball cards were sold in tobacco. And he didn't approve of selling baseball cards to kids that involved tobacco, and he didn't want his likeness or his name being involved in that. And they also didn't pay him that much. So he stopped it. And I guess over the years, people didn't keep up with them. And I think there's only like less than 20 of them in existence. And Twisted Movies is right. Says the value is only what someone is willing to pay, not what it's really worth. And it must be graded. But those Honus Wagner cards, we're talking about that. That Honus Wagner card was in 1911. And I think this Mickey Mantle is like in the 50s. But trust me, something else will beat this. You know it's going to. It's going to. But there are so many of these things that people, I mean, exactly. It's what you're willing to pay for it. Because there's so much art out there. I think recently they just broke the record for the world's record selling painting and stuff. You know, you're always going to get that rich asshole that's out there that just wants to show out. I'm going to buy this and I'm going to own the world's richest, you know, sports memorabilia or the world's most famous painting and stuff. When there's billionaires out there, you're going to have dumbasses that are just going to like show out and try to spend the money on it. So, guys, I want to thank everybody that gave me all the advice. When it came to the painting and stuff, painting, plumbing, God, I'm so tired. Guys, I'm just so tired. I'm so tired. But I'm going to get out of here. I want to thank everybody that joined tonight's show. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the show. Hopefully you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow.